When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now let me join the show there. Welcome in, Quinn and Chris.
We're tired of hearing you already. When's that 3:30 bus show up? We speed that up a little bit?
Fair enough, fair enough, fair enough. Dylan Cease, Jack Flaherty facing off tonight. Good pitching matchup. Jack Flaherty, probably been the Dodgers' best pitcher since he's been acquired. Dylan Cease, been on a nice little run here as of late, throwing the ball really well. And, you know, the Padres continue to try to walk down the Dodgers for this division title. There was a point in the season where we were happy that the last three games were going to be against the Diamondbacks. Now we're at a point in the season where we wish those three games were flipped, right? So
yes,
that this series would be much like it was in 1996. Kind of an end-all, be-all type situation. So that's not the case. Padres still looking to try to hawk down these Dodgers. Their offense yesterday was stymied by Michael King. And when Dylan Cease is on, he's commanding the fastball, and then like kind of everything else kind of just kind of falls into place, it seems like. And that's what you're looking for today when he takes the mound.
I think Jack Flaherty in that trade, I don't think the Dodgers realized how important that trade was going to be for them because he's become the guy in their rotation that they can rely on. And that's not a good feeling for Dodgers, and I'm fine with it. So there's my thoughts.
Tonight's match is going to be pretty good.
Interesting.
It's so awkward with this, like, three different places. Anyway.
Tonight's, you know, very much, again, you got to bounce back from, you got to, as much as, you know, you say all the right things in terms of, you know, partied last night, and now it's time to go and go take care of business and continue this, you know, with five games left. Again, another playoff level atmosphere. And, you know, Tony, we got to watch a little bit on TV. We got to listen to you guys on the radio. From your perspective, you have been able to witness a lot of big games in Padres history, either, you know, as a kid growing up, as a player in the organization, and now as a broadcaster. And I know it's kind of went with what I was talking about before with the clubhouse, but you know, you've been at a lot of the biggest moments in Padres history. You know, what was last night like, you know, for you, and kind of give us that local perspective. You're a San Diego kid, man. I mean, growing up watching this team, it's probably cool interviewing another San Diego kid and Joe Musgrove last night, and just with the history that the Padres have had. You know, what was last night like for you as a San Diego local, and what were the vibes like at Dodger Stadium, a place that you've been so many times?
I'll say this real quick. We were back at the hotel by like 11:45, 11:50.
Perfect.
So, I mean, you know, what happened after everybody got here, I don't know. I went to my room. So, you know, I feel like
that's the savvy vet that you are, Tony.
I feel like I got sufficient. I couldn't wait to get out of that champagne-laced Lululemon shirt I had on that was soaked. But, I think, you know, at least from my perspective, I think yesterday was I don't know. I think we've had different moments. I think the real moments, you know, start to have a lasting impact when you're doing it more often, right? Like, you're not just holding on to just, you know, these handful of moments that you have. And that's kind of how it's been for San Diegans. And the thing that kept coming to my mind yesterday, and I kind of alluded to in one of the interviews, like, oh, I think it was with Joe, you know, this is, you want this to become a habit. Like, you want to be in the mix, have fun. Rather, you know, oftentimes we lock in on the stress part of being a fan, but how nice has it been over the last 4 years to actually be having conversations of going to the playoffs? I mean, we're actually having a conversation before we even get there about this team being a World Series like contender. Like, when has that ever? That wasn't even the case in '98 when the team was ended up going to the World Series. It's you know, maybe last year there was some expectation that it could be, but even, I mean, as the season was going, it became pretty apparent that, okay, maybe World Series, let's just try to get to the playoffs at that point. And so I say all that to say that the thing I was excited about was the fact that this is starting to be something that feels normal. You know, this wasn't something that has ever felt normal here. And, you know, being in there yesterday, last night, it was like, yo, this is kind of familiar. I know what to do. I did this before. It was in San Diego. It was in New York. Those things, because you've started to do them a little bit, it's a good feeling. You're starting to see it kind of come together. So this story is still yet to be fully told.
We'll
see how it goes.
You know, for a long time, the Padres never made the playoffs, so maybe Chris is going to have to change when he takes his vacations now, because things are becoming a little bit more normal with the Padres going deep.
I'm going to say I think there's an adjustment that has been made here. I mean,
what's the adjustment?
He went in September instead of October.
He usually goes in October.
That's right.
And like, he's not here for the playoffs. Remember, I know we're talking about the playoffs. Playoffs has not actually started yet. We still got the rest of this week to get through. He'll be back next week, so that brings him here for the actual.
But the playoffs will have already started by the time he got back. So
what day does he come back? The second?
I think he comes back on the second. Yes.
Okay, so it's first day or second day of the playoffs. He's getting here for it, buddy.
I think that I'm going to require him now from going forward that he's going to have to take his vacation in like March.
There's also a world where Chris misses zero Padres playoff games if they just win the division.
That's true.
Don't give Chris an out, Adam.
What the heck?
Take that, Scrabe.
I actually had a friend text me last night, and it's kind of funny because his kid was 3 years old, I believe, in 2022. So now that they've been to the playoffs twice in the last couple years, he's used to them going to the playoffs.
What a lucky kid. Great for the kids, man.
That is a trip, right? There is a portion of folks out here that only know Padres success.
They don't know, right?
But at the same time,
they've only had to hear about how bad things had been at some point.
You know what?
That wasn't true.
Let the youth of San Diego have a team like that. Because growing up for me, I mean, growing up for me, like, I was 3 years old in 98. And my favorite player for the longest time, Tony, was your dad. And then after, I only got to see the tail end of his career. And then after that, people would ask me all the time, like, a kid, when you always ask kids, right? Well, who's your favorite player? And I never picked anybody not on the Padres. And so for the longest time, because they had a new roster almost every single year, it was Tony Gwynn is my all-time favorite player. And I only watched like three or four years of his career, and it was different jerseys all the time. And I remember, and I say this all the time, you know, coaching at Cathedral, I get to see, you know, when I get to school, sometimes they have like Jersey Day or something like that. When I was at Cathedral, there was never a single Padres jersey worn on Jersey Day. Nobody ever wore Padres stuff. None of the kids were ever Padres fans because they weren't very good and they had a brand new team every year. And now I go to Cathedral, and I bet you a lot of schools are like this. There are Padres jerseys everywhere. And I think the coolest part about that is even though my childhood I didn't get to enjoy like Padres baseball at a high level and people around the country wearing Padres gear, it is so cool what this ownership did in signing these big contracts and getting kids at a young age to know that they're going to have Machado on the team their entire childhood and Tatis on their team their entire childhood. I mean, it's so great for the youth of San Diego. And honestly, they're doing a great job of getting kids all over the country to wear the brown and gold.
I can't but think about how many people want to trade all those guys that have 10 plus years.
Just about. I was thinking it.
Think about. It's so cool though for the kids now.
It's really a great point though that you know, it is cool that this generation of kid gets to experience something that most of us didn't, and that's kind of the whole point of this kind of turn in what the Padres are getting. But anyway, that was all to say that that's what the thing that I was thinking about when I was in the clubhouse last night as the festivities began. Again, 7-10 matchup here, game two between Padres, Dodgers. You know, the one thing that stood out to me yesterday, and it's just that triple play, right? I mean, it was setting up for Ohtani, the alien, to come up in a situation that would not have been ideal. And it further makes me believe that there truly is something magical about this Padre team. Like, I mean,
you had a no-hitter this year, too.
Yeah.
I mean, think about all the moments.
Hold on. I mean, I got to get the stat.
How many times, you know, like, while he's getting that stat, how many times you see those World Series champion videos, right? And they have all these
Padres have had a triple play, a no-hitter, a back-to-back-to-back, sets of back-to-back-to-back home runs.
Comeback
win from 8 runs down. There's been 700 triple plays ever. There's been 300 no hitters thrown. There's been 300 sets of back to back to back home runs, and there's been over 100 comeback wins from 8 runs down. But the Padres are the only team to do all of those in one season. So, you know, it has been one of those type of years for this ball club, and it continues tonight. Padres, Dodgers. Let's get to break. On the other side, little daily gambit.
We're going to hear a lot from you while you're transitioning over to the stadium, Dodger Stadium. That is, we're going to hear your interviews. We're going to hear the Big Five. We have Matt Snyder coming up in this hour. So yeah, lots to go, Tony.
Awesome. Well, yeah, more Gwen and Chris. Daily Gambit on the other side. Here's some traffic.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, that promo right there was enough to pull on my heartstrings. I don't know about everybody out there. That was a good one, Adam. That was really good. You went and got all the work parts for that. Peter Seidler, Mike Schilt. Man, we are in a really good mood here today on 97.3 The Fan. Matt Scraby, Braden Soprano, Adam Klug, Tony Gwynn Jr. off to Dodger Stadium. We'll hear from him again here shortly for an interview with Matt Snyder of CBS Sports. He was really excited to talk about the Padres and what they did last night, too. So we'll get to that here in about 20 minutes. This hour is brought to you by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution helps you to attract, interview, and hire candidates all year long or all year round. Schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting indeed.com/credit. All right, we're gonna hear real quick from MLB Network and Mark DeRosa. I really like Mark DeRosa, by the way, on MLB Network. I think he's really good. He explains things in a really easy to understand way. But Mark DeRosa has also been a huge Padre supporter throughout this entire season. And this morning on MLB Network, he talked about the Padres, and I think you're going to like what he had to say.
Last night. They're just two back of the division. Remember, they own tiebreaker. As we said, the division is still in play for this group. And
they believe, too. Yeah.
And they're a problem.
Yeah. They are a massive problem. And I want to give love. We talked about who the pitching matchup we were most looking forward to. Michael King gave up a one spot in the first yesterday and bared down. He gave them a chance. Crone Zone got hot, took Knack deep on a changeup, gave him the lead back 2-1. San Diego's good.
Yeah. Dodgers rotation. Tell me about the Dodgers rotation.
Yeah, concerned.
Landon Knack, and he is going to be a stud. But you always talk about asking someone to do something.
I don't think he sees. I think it's going to be Yamamoto, Flaherty, and Bueller.
Yamamoto hasn't.
And both.
They got to hope that Yamamoto's can give them a little bit of length. And
yeah, I reached on that. I'm man enough to say I make some mistakes. about 2-3 week stretch ago, I thought the Dodgers were like, ooh, they're a wagon. Here they come. Their bullpen's sick. Otani's raking. Mookie's raking. And then Glasnow went down. And I thought they could cover it. And then Stone. And then they got a lot. I still like them. But San Diego's definitely a problem.
I love that. San Diego is definitely a problem. He's right. He's absolutely right. I think we've seen it all year. I think we've seen it here ever since the All-Star break. And I don't have confidence, if I'm a Dodgers fan, in my team heading into the playoffs. Yamamoto, like they said, Yamamoto missed a lot of this year. He has been good when he's pitched this year, but he's also missed a ton of the year. So I guess you could throw him out there and see what happens, but I'm much more comfortable with the Padres rotation and what they got going on.
Yeah, the Padres are the scariest team in the National League right now that you'd have to deal with. They are a problem for most teams in the National League. We talked about it yesterday. Based on how roster construction is, I start looking at, you know, pitching wins, right? Pitching and defense wins in the postseason. That's what everybody always likes to say. You know, but on top of that, you got to be able to swing the stick, too, and we'll get to that in a second. But you look at the pitching staffs, aside from maybe the Phillies, but even that one's pretty similar to the Padres. There's not a pitching staff out there that I would rather have than the San Diego Padres, right? I think the bullpen's the best. I don't think anybody in Major League Baseball has a bullpen that is better than San Diego. I think the starting staff, I think you can make arguments with other teams. They might have a better 1-2-3 than San Diego, but it's in the top. And you start looking at the Dodgers and their starting rotation and their bullpen, they don't have it. I mean, it's not a bullpen that I think, and it's not a starting staff that I think the other teams in the National League would immediately swap with in the postseason. And you start looking at the other teams in the postseason. The Brewers have a better pitching staff than the Dodgers do. The Diamondbacks are probably the only team that doesn't have a better pitching staff than the Dodgers do. Mets have a better pitching staff. We talked about it yesterday, especially with Chris Sale at the top of the rotation for the Braves. I'd take the Braves pitching staff over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Talk about a lineup construction. I mean, the top three in the Dodgers order is definitely the best in the playoffs. But after that, you know, I think it's a lot better than it's been, you know, after the trade deadline when they acquired Tommy Edman and, you know, kind of moved some things around, it looked a lot better. But, you know, from a start top to bottom, you know, the Dodgers are not the world beater team that they've been in the past. They're not the big dragon that needs to be slayed in the National League. If I have to pick a favorite, it's probably the Phillies. And then after that, I'd probably go Padres too. I think it's a toss-up between the Brewers and the Dodgers. I'd probably go Dodgers 3, go Brewers 4, and then from there on out, you're going with the rest of the wild card spots, and I think it's probably the Mets. And the way the Braves are playing right now, I think it's the Braves of the Diamondbacks. I mean, I think the Diamondbacks are going to play themselves out of a playoff spot right now the way that they're playing.
Yesterday.
Yeah, they got their ass handed to them last night. I mean, the Giants destroyed them, and that is a very bad loss for Arizona before
for a
the
team
postseason.
Trying to make the postseason, that's a terrible loss.
Yeah, awful. I mean, that is awful. But there's a lot of things going the Padres' way. You know, you can mention the divine intervention that might be
Peter
in play
Seidler, yes.
And everything else. But I mean, we talked about all of the situations and the stats that the Padres have put together. I mean, they are on a team of destiny type run. That doesn't mean it's a guarantee.
Yeah, correct.
Right? They still have to go out there and win the playoff games, but this is the most excited I've been as a Padres fan headed into the postseason, and got 5 games left. And a lot of things can change in 5 games, and hopefully tonight's the deal. But as Adam Klug told us after the show yesterday or during a break, he thinks the Padres are going to go in there and wreak some havoc. I think they got the Dodgers number. I think there's something to be said about reeling and the pressure right now.
I do too.
Who's got more pressure to win right now these next 2 games?
The Dodgers.
The Dodgers or the Padres? The answer is the Dodgers.
It's easier to chase than be chased, and the Padres right now are just playing free. They have nothing to lose, so they can go out and try to win these games and not have to worry too much. And we were talking yesterday about the lineup and about how the 5, 6, 7, 8 guys in the lineup for the Padres are much more dangerous than the guys in the Dodger lineup. And if you look at last night, you have Jackson Merrill going 1-for-4, Xander Bogaerts 2-for-4 with an RBI. You have Jake Cronenworth 2-for-4 last night, 3 RBIs and a home run. If that part of the lineup gets going, this is an incredibly difficult lineup to get through for other teams. They're not going to look forward to facing the Padres in the playoffs. Jake Cronenworth all year has shown that he still can hit when he needs to, and maybe the playoffs are something that Jake Cronenworth loves to do, loves to play in, because last time he had the winning hit against the Dodgers, and he had a great playoff run. This team is in the perfect place right now, and it's good stuff.
Pull the rope in the right direction, you know, that's one thing, but let's go back to the lineup. Playoff caliber teams and World Series caliber teams have guys like Jake Cronenworth batting seventh.
Yeah.
I said that on opening day. I said Jake Cronenworth at the end of the season, if the Padres are going to be a playoff team and a World Series caliber team, will not be batting third. He'll be batting seventh. And people got so, oh, we love Jake. I'm like, I'm not saying it's because Jake can't bat at the top of the spot, at the order. What I'm saying is World Series caliber teams have guys the caliber of Jake Cronenworth batting seventh in their order. It lengthens the lineup. Donovan Solano batting eighth is drastically different than what the Padres' bottom three spots were at the beginning of the season.
Oh, yeah.
The bottom three spots last year in 2023. And even, I mean, if you look at the playoff roster that the Padres had in 2022, it's very similar to the one they have now, and I think the one that they have now is better with the bottom half. I mean, you have to have a lot of guys in the order that are all contributors and that are big bats from top to bottom. That's what World Series teams have, and the Padres currently have that with Donovan Solano batting eighth. I mean, your worst hitter in the lineup is Kyle Higashioka. He's not a slouch.
No.
And then if you add Elias Diaz in there instead, Elias Diaz was hitting 270 when the Padres acquired him, when the Rockies decided to just let him go because he was a free agent at the end of the year. He was a all-star MVP not too long ago. I mean, that guy might be batting ninth for you. That's great. That is so much better than a lot of different lineups right now in Major League Baseball, but that's where you're at lineup-wise. I want to go back to the Dodgers, too. The pressure that's on them. Because when you have a huge lead in the division, and when you've won the division so many times, and when you and your fan base don't respect what's going on south of you because you've always taken care of business against the Padres, to be in the position they're in right now, it is, and if I was a Dodgers fan, I would be freaking out because it's embarrassing. You should never lose to the little organization down south. You should never lose to them. With the resources you have in every aspect of the organization, it is embarrassing to lose to the Padres if you're the Los Angeles Dodgers. With the history you have, with the clout you have, the money you have, the resources, as I mentioned, and when you have to worry about losing a game like that, things can unravel on you. And they can unravel quick. And if the Padres win tonight, the pressure tomorrow is even greater on the Dodgers. And if the Padres win on Thursday, you better believe they're sitting there going into Colorado, playing tight and going, we better not screw this up because we have been the top dog in this league for so long.
It's not given. And I feel like, I know the Dodgers don't think it's given, but it's just the media has given it to the Dodgers for so long, and the Padres are finally doing it. You were talking about the beginning of the year, the lineup. Who was the 5-6-7-8 hitters? Or 5-6-7-8 number?
He had like Josh Bell like down
No,
there,
I'm talking about this year when they opening day. Sorry, I left that part out.
Oh, I don't.
Opening day. So the 5-6-7-8-9 hitters opening day. Ha-Seong Kim, which we will talk about because there is a possibility he returns this weekend, and that will add another person into the mix. Jurickson Profar batting 6th. Campusano 7th. Wade 8th. And Merrill 9th. And the reason Wade was in there because Manny was DHing. But you're right. Moving Jake Cronenworth all the way down, that is 100% the identity of a championship team, is when you have to move hitters down because you got better guys behind him, and that person's better served in the 7th spot, which Jake Cronenworth is. And him batting 3rd for most of the year, it just wasn't working. So I like what you're saying. I mean, if you did indeed say that on opening day, Braden, that's a pretty good prediction.
People got mad at me. He was like, I can't believe you don't believe in Jake Cronenworth. I don't not believe in Jake Cronenworth, but Jake Cronenworth is a 7 hitter on a World Series caliber team. If you look at the Padres lineup they put out against the Phillies in the National League Championship Series, this lineup is better than that lineup. And, you know, lineup had guys like, you know, Jake Cronenworth batting fifth, and Will Myers was batting sixth, and Kim was seventh, Grisham was eighth, and Nola was nine. But you had guys in the lineup that could go out there and do some serious damage late in the ball game and are late in the order. I mean, those are the teams that win World Series. And if you go back and look at the last couple of World Series winning teams and the lineups they have, they got studs in every single spot, and the Padres currently are putting that together.
Yes, we have a lot more to talk about with this Padres team going forward. But when we get back here on Gwen and Chris, we're going to hear from Matt Snyder. And we asked him for the national perspective on what the Padres did last night and what people think about them heading into the playoffs. So Matt Snyder, when we get back on 97.3 The Fan. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan, back with you here on a playoff clinching Padres station here on 97.3 The Fan. That was not the best way to say it, but there we go. I said it anyway. We have Matt Snyder coming up here in just a second of CBS Sports, but I wanted to say this and tell everybody about this before we get into it a little bit later. But Ha-Seong Kim is expected to work the next few days at the Padres facility in Peoria, and then he's going to join them at Chase Field on Friday. No one knows if he's going to be activated then or for the postseason, but it is looking like he is going to be coming back here. And there's a big conversation to be had about what to do. Now, Adam sent this morning from Kevin Acey. He said, if Kim returns, the Padres could play him at shortstop and move Xander Bogaerts back to second base, or they could play Kim at second base in order not to make Bogaerts move again. Platooning Kim and the left-handed hitting Jake Cronenworth at second base is also under consideration. And as we said a little bit earlier, Braden, I think all of these guys on this team are willing to do what it takes to win and go wherever they need to go. But I got to think that maybe Xander Bogaerts is a little frustrated with the moving back and forth from second base to shortstop and shortstop back to second base. I mean, I would prefer to see them keep him at shortstop because I don't think he wants to go back to second base.
I'd leave him at shortstop, too. What are you going to do? Here's the other thing. I mean, I'd never understood moving Kim to shortstop at the beginning of the season. He was the better defensive shortstop than Xander, but he's a free agent at the end of the year, and you have Xander Bogaerts under contract for 10 more years or 9 more years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So at the end of the year, if you're not going to sign Kim to be your long-term shortstop, which you're going to have to give him a lot of money in order to do that, why upset the guy that's under contract for a long period of time again and move him back and forth? I mean, just leave him there. Leave him at shortstop. If he's going to play, put him at second, Kim. You know, but right now, I mean, the lineup's doing well with what you got. And I don't necessarily know if Kim is an upgrade to your order right now.
Well, not with the way that he was hitting before he got hurt. I mean, defensively, he's definitely, you know, someone that they want on the field. But in the lineup, I don't know what he's going to give them. He hasn't played since, what, late August? He's going to have a month before he plays in a baseball game. But we'll get into this a little bit more as the show goes along. It's a topic with many tentacles. All right, we're going to check traffic, and then right after traffic, we have Matt Snyder of CBS Sports.
Still enjoying last night's festivities. Padres get it done. They clinch a playoff spot. And still have some unchecked boxes that they want to accomplish. And joining us to talk a little bit about it is Matt Snyder, one of our favorites. And Matt, last night the Padres get the 4-1 victory, and it looked a lot like a lot of their victories, minus the ninth inning, but a triple play to end the game, just a high IQ play from Manny Machado. What were your thoughts seeing that?
It was amazing. And I thought, and I tweeted this morning, was I don't know how many people appreciate the degree of difficulty on that play for Machado. Have the ball come right to him and to get to third base so fast and to wheel and throw an absolute strike to second with no margin for error whatsoever. It was an incredible baseball play. But that's what you get with Manny Machado at third base, and that's what we've been seeing for years. So that's why one of the reasons why he's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday, in my opinion. But that was an amazing way to end the game because it looked like uh-oh, a Robert Suarez meltdown is in progress, and then you get the ground ball triple play all of a sudden. To clinch a playoff, no less. I was trying to think of the most dramatic playoff clinchers. I thought back, if you remember, 2004, Steve Finley hit a walk-off grand slam for the Dodgers, and it clinched yep. it in LS for them. Like, if I'm going back to 2004 in my memory, that's a pretty darn dramatic clincher. But maybe it's not their only clincher, because now they're 8-3 right. against the Dodgers, and only two games out with two games to go in Dodger Stadium. And, you know, the Dodgers have three in Colorado, and I know the Rockies are terrible, but weird stuff happens in Coors Field all the time. So this division by no means is over.
Talking to Matt Snyder, CBS Sports here, and the reason the triple play was so needed was because, as you said, Robert Suarez. So I wanted to get a national perspective on Robert Suarez and whether or not you think there is more of a discussion as to the closer role of the Padres than, you know, people are having right now.
It's just so difficult, and Mike Schilt has a much better feel on his team than any of us could have. The concerns are, one, that he's going to have a meltdown and cost you a playoff series. That's the biggest one. Two, if you remove him from the closer's role, you shatter his confidence and you mess up what looks like it could be an amazing lockdown bullpen. And it's not just the obvious Scott Adams Suarez at the end. You've got Hulling in that mix too, several other really live arms. You could also argue you've seen enough in the past, 8 weeks or so from Suarez to just say, don't worry about shattering his confidence, because he should not be in high leverage situations the rest of the year. You have enough high octane arms that you don't need him in the high leverage situations. I would push back on that one, because I kind of think you do. And he's shown how good he can be. And it's so many times. But it just looks like he has no confidence in throwing any off speed pitches for a strike right now. And his fastball, while it is 100-101, is straight as an arrow. And anytime it's a strike, it looks like the hitters lock in on it. And that was the case, I think it was Friday night against the White Sox. Yeah. It looked like it was going to be the case last night. We've seen it so many times, the grand slam by the Tigers. I believe it was Parker Meadows. We've just seen it so much that I assume a lot of Padres fans are pretty worried heading toward the postseason. Got a few games left. Hopefully he gets some of these outings where he locks it down, he throws his off-speed pitches for a strike, he gets a lot of strikeouts instead of hard contact right at people, but it does seem worrisome.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. There's starting to be, I think, a few antennas raised up as he continues to kind of have these up-and-down performances. Matt, you know, this is the first time I can remember since I've been doing this job, going to opposing teams ballpark and talking to the people who work around the stadium and hearing so much praise about this Padres team. A lot of them think that this team has a chance to take this, you know, all the way. I mean, what is the Padres storyline on a national level right now? We know what it is here in San Diego, but this team looks like this is a World Series contender.
100%. They absolutely look like it's interesting. I went on CBS Sports HQ, our video channel, last night to talk about the clinchers, and it was a study in contrast, because when I talked about the Orioles, it was like, well, sure, they made the playoffs, but you can't trust them at all. They've been really bad since the middle of June, and I just don't see anything about that team that should scare any other team that they're going to face. The flip side to that was the Padres, who are they lost the first game coming out of the All-Star break to fall to 50-50. They're 41-16 since then. If teams started 41-16, we'd be talking about how that might be one of the best teams of all time. That's how well they're playing right now. And I don't know how much organizational depth they have right now. For example, if they went through all the injuries that the Astros went through or the Dodgers went through. But you know what? Who cares right now? Because you don't have to have that much going to the playoffs. You're going to play your studs every game. You need 1-4 in the rotation, which they have. You need 4 or 5 live arms in the bullpen, which they have. You need a top-to-bottom lineup that is powerful, that can make things happen on the bases if they need to, that can put the ball in play if they need to. The Padres have every single element of a World Series champion. Now, we have seen teams like that get bounced in the first round. We've seen teams like that win the World Series. And it's interesting. On the National League side, I think the Phillies could stake a claim. to being very similar to them. I don't know how the Dodgers are going to fare with that, the way the rotation is right now. Who knows? The Brewers don't seem scary, but the Diamondbacks didn't last year, and they ended up in the World Series. The Mets might well have those elements, especially if Francisco Lindor comes back, but at this point, they might not even make the playoffs. If you look at the American League side, the Yankees probably have all those elements, but I don't know if anybody else does. I know everybody's scared of the Astros. I'm not quite as much. And the Guardians or any of the wild card teams don't really put a scare into me at all. So I would put there's going to be 12 playoff teams. The Padres are top four, top three for me.
Talking to Matt Snyder, CBS Sports.
I would make the argument that the Padres have the right kind of depth because, you know, they did have, you know, Darvish out for a long time. They did have Musgrove out. Toddy was out. And they were able to have guys that may not be the same type of player, but certainly were able to keep it afloat while those guys got healthy.
100%. Yes. And then once everybody did get healthy, now watch out. And that's what we're seeing right now. Yes.
Talking to Matt Snyder, CBS Sports. Sorry, Tony, I just got your text that you wanted to ask a follow-up, so I tried to step all over you. I want to ask, because we do praise the Padres, and we should praise the Padres here in San Diego, but I want to ask someone who's not so close to the situation, what is this team's Achilles heel? What is going to possibly take them down in the playoffs?
I mean, we've already talked about it, right? If that doesn't get figured out, and Schilt continues to stick with him. I don't know. And it's so hard to know right now. Is that a flaw in the way Schilt's going about it, or is he right to stick with him because then he's going to get it figured out in time? But I just have visions of the end of a playoff series, another team hitting like a three-run bomb to knock the Padres out because of the way that these last several weeks have gone. And especially when you have alternatives like Tanner Scott, who has closing experience, or like Jason Adam, who's very, very capable of getting the job done. I kind of wish he would have 2 weeks ago temporarily removed Suarez from the role to let him work things out so he didn't suffer like two or three more blown saves that probably hurt matters even worse. But again, it's so hard to tell. But I mean, anything else, look, teams can always get caught in fluky things that happen in small samples. So like if you look at the Phillies losing the Diamondbacks last year, three games in a row, and the Diamondbacks go to the World Series, I don't think it was any one thing necessarily with the Phillies that you could have pointed out before. They just quit hitting. And if you looked at that offense, you wouldn't say, oh, man, I'm worried about that offense, stop hitting. But in small samples, you look at this Padres offense right now, I'm sure we could find where they just stopped hitting. And that could well happen at the wrong time. Yeah.
For sure, that is a concern for every team that's going to go in there. For sure, we've seen it happen in back to back seasons. And on that, Matt, you know, we're in the year three now of this format that you know I think has been a success to this point. Except if you've been a number one seed, there's kind of been mixed results on that end. This has got to have been what Major League Baseball had in mind as you come down the stretch, right? I mean,
probably.
You got a bunch of teams in this, both in the American League and in the National League. Let's start with the National League. How do you think this one will end up when it's all said and done?
Oh, man. Okay, so like I said, I feel like the Brewers probably are built more for the regular season than postseason. I'm not seeing a run in the Diamondbacks again. The Braves,
I'm not saying how do you think it'll end up in the very, very. I'm just saying in terms of the lineup in terms of getting into the playoffs, those last couple of spots, how do you think those shake out? I'm sorry.
I'm going to say the Mets hold on and find a way. They've just had such good vibes since the start of June. So I'll say that the Mets are the five, the six. I guess I'll say the Diamondbacks, but it's really, I mean, after the Braves beat the Mets last night, it's just, gosh, between those three teams, it's tough. It's tough to see who's going to get in. So I'll say the Braves get squeezed out. It just seems like they've been so cursed all season with all those injuries, and it just does not seem like they're here. So I'll say that somehow we end up with the Mets in the five spot and the Diamondbacks in the six, which means a lot of fun if the Padres do not win the NL West. Which it would be way more fun if they won the NL West, frankly. But if they don't, they get to host the Mets, and maybe Joe Musgrove's ears will be red again.
Oh man, that would be some sort of storyline.
It would make for great theater for Major League Baseball to have those teams match up again. Yeah. Especially the way it went down the first time, for sure.
One of the dumbest. Matt, as always, man, appreciate you. Seen,
yes, it was.
So dumb,
yeah, there's still some Mets fans who actually believe his ears had some type of illegal substance on. So, Matt, thank you for your time, man. We'll catch up again soon.
All right, take care.
There we go, Matt Snyder from CBS Sports breaking it all down with us. Now, Adam here just saw something from Manny Machado, and I didn't see this last night. And this kind of shows you what this team is all about, because Manny Machado has always loved Ha-Seong Kim. He has learned some Korean phrases. He's learned some of the language to meet Ha-Seong Kim halfway. And after the game, when they were doing the interviews and stuff, he actually FaceTimed Ha-Seong Kim to make him a part of the celebration. And I think that's pretty awesome. Adam is trying to work on the video right now. But, I mean, that's the type of team this is. When they say, hey, we're a tight team, we got to believe him, because I think they mean it.
Yeah, I think that's a very loose term more times than not with a lot of different teams out there.
I agree.
But when you know it's a tight team, you can really feel it. And I honestly think this is the tightest this group has been since a lot of them have been assembled here in San Diego. So it's good to see. I think a lot of the youth movement is part of that. A lot of the veterans part of that. And the other thing too, I mean, it's always better when you're winning. So the Padres
that's
have
also
been,
very
the
true.
Padres have been, winning cures a lot of things. I've heard Tony say that multiple times.
Saranye! Saranye! Hey! Hey! Kimmy!
Kimmy! On the phone.
Hey! Saranye! We love you, baby! We'll see you next year, baby! You coming for us! You gonna celebrate with us too, baby!
I love that so much. If you did see the video, you need to go back to the YouTube. Search 97.3 The Fan, and you can see that video, because...
We'll see you in AZ.
Yeah, Manny Machado, or that's where Ha-Seong Kim is right now. We'll get into that a little bit, but we do need to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to play some Braden versus the Fans. We got prizes to give away. We have Eric Clapton tickets. We also have your qualification to Las Vegas. So if you want to get in line and play that, 833-288-0973.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.